Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to LifePoint Church. My name is Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as the lead pastor of our church, and today we are actually providing a very special on-demand service for you, especially here in Clarksville. We've had some snow and ice on the roads, and so we just said, hey, let's everybody stay home, and we would just bring the message to you through the internet, through our app, our podcast, or however you're getting here. So I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for tuning in and sharing this sermon experience, this Sunday experience, with others through your social media. You can click the share app button on Facebook Live, or you can just copy and paste the link and give it to others as well. But we're so glad to be one church in many places and excited about all that the Lord is doing. And thank you again for joining us today. We love being one church in many places and thankful for the opportunity to do that through the internet. I'm also really, really excited to be in the second week of our new series in the book of Romans. Now, this series is going to take us through pretty much all of 2018. We are in the second week of this series, and we're going to take a verse-by-verse approach through pretty much all of the book of Romans. And if you're new with us or haven't been around our church very much, you may not know this, but my preferred preaching method is actually to preach through entire books of the Bible at a time. And every time we've done these long studies, our church grows and our people grow in their depth of understanding of the scripture, as well as their love of God and love for the Bible. So those are some of our goals and why we do these. And today we are picking up where we left off last Sunday. So since you have a Bible, and I know you do, sitting there hopefully on your lap, do me a favor and turn to Romans chapter 1. I've actually titled this sermon, A Pastor's Hope for Us. And we're going to hear from the heart of the pastor who wrote this, the pastor Paul. But honestly, I feel like as your pastor, as the pastor of this church, there are so many things that he says and does and how he leads the folks in his churches that honestly, I try to learn from and emulate and to follow as well. And we're going to see him praising his church. We're going to see him bragging on them a little bit and also challenging them. And I think as we read through Romans chapter 1, this next passage together, we're going to see some challenge for us and some things that I'm equally as proud of for you, LifePoint Church. So again, Romans chapter 1, and we're going to pick up in just a moment in verse 8. Now, while you're turning there, let me just say, I love being your pastor. I hope the same things for us that we're going to see the Apostle Paul saying to his churches in Rome. I hope these things are true for us. And let me just ask, though, as we get there, how are you doing with your fast? We have just today, on the 14th, we are on our 14th day of 21 days of fasting. That means two of our 3 weeks are behind us, and we're coming into the home stretch into this last week. But how are you doing with your fasting? Has your prayer time increased? Has your time in scripture increased? Hopefully that's the goal, that we would grow in our prayer and devotion life to Jesus, not just starving ourselves. Amen. I know for me, I'm actually going through two Bible reading plans right now. I'm doing the New and 90, which is the whole New Testament in 90 days. And I'm walking through that with a couple guys that I'm holding accountable, and they're holding me accountable too. But I'm also doing the Bible in a year. So that's four different sections of scripture at a day, and I got that on the YouVersion app. So I'm kind of overloading with scripture right now. I listen to some of it, I read some of it, I'm writing notes and all that kind of stuff. But I'm also trying to grow in my prayer life, especially. And I got to tell you, if all you're doing is starving yourself, I want to encourage you to really make sure that you take some time to pray, to read the scripture, to spend some time in worship as well. If you remember on New Year's Eve, I brought us a text from Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, and it was really the theme verse of our New Year's Revolution service. Joshua was on the edge of the Jordan River, about to bring the people of Israel into the promised land after decades of wandering in the desert. And the night before they're going to cross over, he doesn't tell them to throw a big party. He doesn't do some crazy celebration. Instead, he actually calls them to devotion to God. He calls them to set themselves apart. Like whatever you've been wandering through or walking in or doing for these last few decades, he's literally saying, enough of that. Set yourself apart from the world and unto God. And he uses this word. He says, consecrate yourself. You do this. You choose to make this decision. You draw a line in the sand and say, I'm no longer doing this, and I'm going to start doing this. You consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow God's going to do wonderful things among you. And I believe that this season of fasting is about consecration. It's about setting ourselves apart from something and unto God. So we're going to set ourselves apart from the world and unto godliness. As your pastor, I want to really encourage you and challenge you for this final week of the fast. I was actually with my pastor this week in Birmingham, Alabama, and I got to spend some time with him. And this is something that he really just kind of pushed on me and said, Mike, you need to really increase in this final week of your fast, this consecration unto the Lord, and particularly setting aside some habits or some practices that I may have in my life, set myself apart from those things so that I can more fully devote myself to the Lord. So actually the way he said it is this. We are created in the image of God, right? Genesis 1 tells us that. And the way that we're in the image of God is that we're triune beings, right? So God is Father, Son, and Spirit. And we are also triune beings. We are body, soul, and spirit. And if you think about what fasting does, fasting is really disciplining of your body, right? Especially if you're doing a food fast. But your body is not only your physical body, your flesh, your appetites. It's also the lusts of your flesh, the desires of your flesh, right? So it's food, it's what we intake, it's what we feed ourselves and drink, but also what we give into with our physical body. Then the second part of us is going to be our soul. Now, the soul of a person is going to be your mind, your will, your emotions, your thought life, your temptations, the way you obsess over things, and the way that we feed our soul tends to be from the things that we watch or the things that we listen to, or like Titus says, that we take every thought captive. I think it's Titus, right? That says, take every thought captive and make it submissive to Christ. The Apostle Paul is the one who wrote that. But we have to guard our minds. We have to think about our emotions and our thought life. And so the soul of a person is fed by what we watch, what we listen to, who we're in communication with. And then the third part of who we are is the spirit. And the spirit is actually the real ethos of who we are. That's the part of us that becomes Christian. That's the part of us that's saved. For years in the church where we said, you know, we want to get souls saved. But the reality is it's our spirit that is saved and that is reckoned unto God through his Holy Spirit. That's the part that bears witness with the Spirit of God. So here's what Pastor Chris talked to me about. He said, listen, we are three-part beings, body, soul, and spirit. And the one that will dominate your life, the part of you that will dominate, your body will dominate with obsessions or addictions or maybe food just controls your life or your diets. If your soul is going to control your life, whatever dominates your life is the thing that you feed the most, right? And so if your thought life and your emotions, that can take control of everything. You can get so caught up in your emotions that you'll literally kill your body, right? Or hurt your body or suppress the activity of your spirit in connection to God. And then the spirit, though, if it's fed, it will lead. And so Pastor Chris was telling me, he said, look, the thing that you feed the most will be the part of you that controls your life. And we are called to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, which wants to lead our spirit man, our spirit person, right? The part of us that bears witness with the Holy Spirit of God. And so as we're fasting, so often in the 21 days of fasting and prayer, I've always taught that we fast food. In fact, I used to say fasting is all about what we put in our mouth and that we're if you want to abstain from other things, that's abstinence but not fasting. But he actually kind of corrected some of that to me to say, look, we need to not only starve our physical body, and that's what fasting does. If you're fasting food, I'm doing a 21-day fast of food, that's starving the body and it's suppressing the appetites of the flesh. But also with your soul, you need to be mindful to starve that part of yourself, especially so that your spirit person, your spirit man is coming alive in prayer and in worship and devotion. I want to ask you in this last week of the fast, that you would consider increasing the level of fasting that you're doing. And I talked about this at our worship night on Thursday night and challenged that group as well. But I want to ask you as we finish the fast that we would increase how we feed our spirit, which is done through prayer, worship, scripture reading, time in your small group, in your life group, coming to church, listening to podcasts, things like that, that you would increase the feeding of your spirit and that you would starve not only your body, but your soul, so that your spirit person will begin to lead you more and more. And here's how we do that. So we starve our physical body through physical fasting, right? Fasting food, meals, whether it's one meal a day, two meals a day, or a total food fast like I've been doing, or following some kind of strict eating program that says no to certain things. And then also fasting our soul looks like we shut out the noise that is otherwise speaking to our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. So that means that we say no to things like media, social media, the news. Some of us need to turn that stuff off for this last week. And I'm calling you guys as a church to consider doing this. Of course, I can't make you do anything, but I'm just inviting you to take a really bold step this last week of the fast to add. If you've been fasting for your body, I want to ask you to start fasting also for your soul. And maybe you've already been fasting for your soul. You said, I'm going to turn off Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and I'm going to turn off, you know, all the news outlets that I listen to, but you've been eating like regular. So I want to ask you for this last week to keep that going and maybe increase that, but also to start fasting food and start submitting your body to a food fast. And then, but make sure that you are feeding your spirit in a way that's really kind of new and fresh. Like I said, I'm reading two Bible reading plans. I'm spending extra time in prayer. Last night, I just spent 45 minutes just laying on my bed in prayer, going through the Lord's Prayer as we've taught here at our church so many times. So I want to ask you for this last week, just again to be clear. Begin to increase fasting in your body and fasting for your soul, and shut out the noise and push away from those things, because consecration is about saying no to something and yes to something else. We're gonna say no to the appetites of our flesh, the appetites of our soul, and we wanna say yes to feeding the appetite of our spirit person. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. And as you're watching this, you've got space to comment there on the live stream or whatever. And just tell us, say, yes, this is great. Amen to that. Or I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna, you know, just say on there how you're responding. If we were in the room right now, nobody's in the room right now, just a couple people, but I'd be asking for, can I hear a big amen, everybody? So maybe you can just type that in and say, amen. All right, good. So again, I can't tell you what to do, but I'm challenging you to take a step forward in your consecration in this last part of the fast. And that's part of the role of pastor. That's part of the role that I get to bring some of these challenges to us. I get to teach, I get to instruct, to challenge, but ultimately Ephesians 4 tells us that my job is to equip the church to do work of ministry, to walk in their Christian living. And again, I can't make you do anything, but I want to instruct, encourage, challenge, and invite you to take these steps. So that's how the Apostle Paul was with his churches. That's how he cared about his people. He was really strong on theology. He was really good on godly living. He was great at affirming and praising his people for doing great, for doing well. I love in Philippians, he said, I'm so proud of you, Philippian church. Nobody else has covered me in giving and receiving like you have. But he said, I'm just so blessed by you, and I don't even seek your gift. I just want to do what God would allow me to do through your giving. He just bragged on the Philippian church. I think that's so great. But he was also very passionate about seeing people saved by the gospel. And that really takes us back into our text in Romans. In this part of Romans, he's bragging to them because he loves them so much. And he's telling them, listen, I am hearing and seeing the fruit of what you're doing. And honestly, these are things that I'm really proud of about us at LifePoint Church. I mean, as I think through the last 7.5, 8 years of our story, I am just so incredibly proud of you. I'm so incredibly proud of our congregation and our church for what God is doing through you and what you're allowing God to do through you. The stories that we hear, like our life group testimony that we heard today. And by the way, life groups are coming. Launch day is the 21st. We believe every person in our church should be in a life group. And this is a couple who've experienced life change through a life group. And so I'm so proud of stories like that, testimonies of God just transforming people by being open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, open to the teaching of the scripture. And so I feel a lot of the same pride that Pastor Paul would feel for his congregations too. So let's get back into the text. And thanks for letting me give the plug on the fast so that we would increase this last week, consecrating ourselves. But we're going to pick back up in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 8. And this is Paul, their pastor, their apostolic leader, just bragging on them a little bit. He's sharing the things that he loves in them. But I really think as we read this text, I want to share some hope that I have for us as well, that we would also model after some of the things that they're being bragged on for as well. Here we go, verse 8. Now, Paul has just finished with grace and peace from God for you. Verse 8, he said, first of all, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because, underline this, he says, your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness. Don't we like to say that sometimes? God is my witness. I'm telling you, here it is. Here's Paul saying the same thing. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. I just love his heart as a pastor. He said, I pray for you guys all the time. I love you and I pray for you. I'm so proud of you. And by the way, I want to increase in that as your pastor, but I do. I love you. I'm proud of our church. And I do pray for you often, you know. And so here's Paul saying, I pray for you all the time. Especially, he said, I want to come to you. I want to come see you guys. For verse 11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Now, you got to pay attention to that. Look at what he said. I want to see you, not just to catch up, but he said, I want to impart some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith, both your faith and by my faith, that we build one another up and encourage each other. We'll come back to it in a moment. Verse 13, he said, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far I've been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. Then verse 14, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians. And we're going to unpack what that means here in just a second. But he said, I am under an obligation both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Now I got to tell you, next week's text, verses 16 and 17 is where we're going to park next week. You do not want to miss the sermon for next Sunday. It's going to rock us next week. There's so much rich theology in two short verses, but really like the thesis statement of the book of Romans is coming up. So read ahead and bring somebody with you next week to our 8 o'clock service, 9:30, 11:30, or our North Clarksville campus at 9:30. Especially if you're bringing a guest, just get them here. And this text is going to bless you next Sunday. I'm really excited to get to it. But here's how he ends. He said, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you guys also in Rome. If you remember last week, the text, Paul said, he talks about this big picture story of the gospel that we all now belong to. And thanks to Jesus, we're a part of the family of God. And then he said, we're called to obedience to faith, to sonship and family with God. And he says that we're called to live like saints, right? Like we are called to live as saints of God. That's followers of Jesus, committed to the Lord. And finally, he prayed this gifted blessing over us, that we would have peace from God, and that we would have the grace of God to live for God. And we talked, and I got a lot of feedback from you guys this week that grace is not the back end of mess ups, right? Grace is God empowering us on the front end to live for him, to live upright and godly in this present age. If you missed that Sunday, last Sunday, grab the podcast. So here's the first thing that Paul brags on the church for. It's that we're making Jesus famous. I mean, go back to verse 8. Look at what he said. He goes, first of all, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. I thank God for you. I thank God through Jesus for all of you. Specifically, why? Because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Now, some of us read this, this is kind of a hyperbole statement, right? Because he's obviously not been to all the world and heard it, but he's using that language to say how big and how broad their faith is being promoted. Everywhere that he goes, he hears about these Romans getting saved and leading others to Jesus and living in Christian community and sharing with one another. And he's just bragging on him. He says, I thank God every time I hear about the Roman church. I'm not hearing about drama, that's in Corinthians, right, everybody? He said, like, every time I'm hearing about the Romans, it's your faith is increasing and the kingdom is taking ground. I read 4 or 5 times in Matthew's gospel, again in Mark's gospel as well, as we're going through the New Testament in 90 days, it says that Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom will reign and the kingdom will rule. And so he's bragging on this Roman church saying, I am so proud and thankful to God because every time I hear about you guys, it's good news of what God's doing in you and through you. And what an incredible testimony of this Roman church that Paul would literally brag on them in this letter that we're still reading thousands of years later. You know, he's saying, I'm so proud that while Caesar thinks he's taking ground, while the Roman Empire thinks it's expanding, in fact, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus is actually expanding even greater. Isn't that good news, everybody? I just love that. The Roman Empire could not stop the power of the gospel of Jesus changing lives. And people are being converted. They're getting saved. They're being drawn to Jesus by the thousands. Paul could have probably said way more in detail, right? And that's kind of what we do. We start sharing stories and testimonies, and we put videos together here at LifePoint to talk about how God is expanding his kingdom here. But there's something about the fame of Jesus spreading. And that's what I titled this part of the text, right? That we would make Jesus famous. Numerous times in the Gospel of Matthew, again, reading through the New Testament in 90 days, we see this phrase. It says, the fame of Jesus spread all around the region. The fame of Jesus. I don't know about you, but just the thought of making Jesus' name more famous than my name, more famous than the name of LifePoint Church, more famous than the name of our president or our politicians or any celebrity. I want Jesus' name to be the most well-known name in this city. Can I hear a big amen? Come on, type it in for me right now. Say amen and amen, right? So the fame of Jesus spread is exactly what is supposed to happen. And it should be celebrated. It should be applauded. And Paul's such a great pastor. He goes, I thank God that the name of Jesus is spreading because of you. Now listen, we have so much to celebrate at Life Point Church, and people are talking more about Jesus, thank God, because what he is doing here through our church. And that's honestly what we want. You may have noticed my face isn't all over this building or our website, or this church, it's not about me. I get to work here, I get to serve here as pastor. But the name that we want to lift up at our church is the name of Jesus Christ. Can I hear a big amen through the internet, everybody? And I just love to thank God for what he's doing here. That's why we thank you for your giving. That's why we thank you for bringing people. That's why we thank you for showing up and serving on our dream teams, because literally God's name is becoming more famous because of what he's doing through this church. We've heard countless stories and testimonies of people who have heard about the church, but then when they come, they'll say things about how God's just changed their life and God just wrecked them when they got here. We use a statement here that says, anybody's welcome to come and be offended by Jesus, right? That's what we're all about here. We just want the name of Christ to be lifted up. Recently, we produced a highlight video, like a year in review, and we actually showed it at our New Year's Eve service. It was a 2017 year in review. It's available on our website and our Facebook, but it's thanking God for all the things that God has been doing through you, Life Point Church, through your faithfulness to give, your faithfulness to serve. You guys gave thousands of pounds of food to Mana Cafe just in 2 or 3 weeks' notice with our Thanksgiving bags by the bumpers. Hundreds of people saved this year. Hundreds of people baptized this year. I mean, to think that we had, 350-ish baptisms this year, and most of those are adults. And the reason that's significant, a lot of churches are baptizing the children of their members, and we definitely do that here too. But we're seeing people get saved like for the first time or rededicated to Jesus as grown-ups and then baptized. The majority of our baptisms are adults coming to faith. And listen, I thank God regularly that you are allowing God to use you and work through you to make his name known around this city and literally around the world through your giving, through our missions partnerships. God is doing great things through our church. But look, we still have more to do. In fact, we have much to do. Somebody asked me recently, they said, well, how big do you think that church is going to get? And I said, well, as long as there are people that don't serve Jesus, we've got work to do. And I'm friends with a lot of pastors in Clarksville. In fact, this weekend with the snow that we've had, many of us were texting one another and asking, you know, who's canceling and who's having services. And one of my buddies down at Exit 11 said, we're having church, by God. And so all the rest of us said, well, we'll come and bring a special offering and we'll sing your special music. I don't think we're going to do that. Anyway, so we're going to sleep in Sunday like you are. But we all know, like all of us pastors know, we just have so much more work to do. We're not in competition with one another, and we certainly don't feel like our rooms are going to get full to the point where we shut the doors and stop letting those far from God come in. So as long as there are people far from Jesus, we have more work to do. So it comes back to the title of this part of the message. The prayer for us, the hope that I have for you as a pastor is that we continue to make the name of Jesus famous. And let me ask, like, what if we became more intentional about that this year? What if 2018 was the year that we became more intentional than ever about sharing the faith of Jesus, about sharing the gospel, the story of Christ, and we started living out our faith in a way that people everywhere would be blessed and challenged and come to faith in Jesus? I don't want Life Point Church to be known as the big church down on Rossview Road. I don't want Life Point Church to be known as the one that put a church at West Creek Middle School. I want Life Point to be known as a place where people can know Jesus and that his name would be famous. My hope as your pastor is that we would be one of the churches in this city that's known for making Jesus known in our town. That means our testimony becomes more about him, even than what God's brought you from. Sometimes we get really caught up in telling the details of what we used to be, and there's great power in the change of our lives. But the reality is, I want my story to be more about who Jesus has become in me than who I used to be. And our testimony needs to push people to Christ. That means our lives belong to his story. That means our social media should draw people to Jesus and not to us. I'm so proud of what God is doing in and through you. And let me just spur you on to say, we still have work to do. There's much more that God wants to do in this church. And until the Lord returns, as long as there are people who are far from God, we've got his name to lift up. Amen, everybody. Come on, type amen. Give me a however you want to type it there. I don't really know. So second thing we see in this text, Romans 1, 8 through 15, it's that we get to make one another better. Are y'all getting anything out of this today? I hope so. I can't really hear you, so just I'll assume you're saying yes, like you would here in the room. But the second thing is that we would make each other better. Jump with me over to verse 11, and look what he said. In verse 11, he said, I long to see you. That's a good pastor right there. He just wants to see his folks, right? He said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Again, good pastor, right? He's saying, look, I want to come to church, and I want to preach. And listen, I get that, 100%. Pastor Benny understands that. Like, he wants to come and lead in worship, and our team wants to come and serve, and we come and we operate in our gifts. And Paul's saying here, I long to come and see you guys because I love you, I pray for you, and I want to come and bring my gift to you. I want to preach, right? I want to bring some spiritual gift to strengthen you. But he said also that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And honestly, that's so interesting to me. He doesn't say, I just want to come and do all the encouragement. He goes, I want to be lifted up by you. There's an exchange of encouragement that happens as we come together and we come to be with one another. I'm going to bring some of my gift to you, and you guys are going to bring your gift to me. That we're going to mutually encourage one another's by one another's faith, both your faith and my faith. Look, as pastor, I know that I get to preach. It's like one of my favorite things that I do in my entire life. I love God. I love my family. But I love preaching to this church. And I know that I get to preach, and I know that I get to unpack scriptures for our people, and I know that I get to be our pastor teacher. And Paul was longing to see his church so that he could preach to them. It's probably my favorite thing to do. But the greater gift to me, I got to tell you, you are a greater gift to me than probably I am to you. And a lot of times it's hard to know that, and maybe you don't hear it enough from me because so much of me is just teaching and encouraging and exhorting and trying to equip you. But let me just promise you, I'm going to say it like this. You are a greater gift to me than I am to you. I look at this text and Paul says, I want to come to you so badly so I can preach to you, but also so that we may be mutually encouraged by one another. Wow. I mean, part of the life of the church is that we bless one another, that we benefit each other, not just me blessing you, but you enrich my life like crazy. And it doesn't stop there. This is why we offer groups. This is why we serve on teams. This is why we show up in the corporate body, because there's something about you blessing you and them blessing them and we blessing others. And part of the value of us coming together is that we become a mutual blessing and a mutual benefit to one another. Listen to what I've said this for years, and I just believe this. We are never meant to be Christians on our own. There are people that want to say things like, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, that's not what Paul's telling us here. He's like, I long to come to church. I long to come to these Roman churches because we would be a blessing. I would get so much out of it. Sometimes in the kind of celebrity pastor world, we go and we go get in a room to get blessed by the prophet, right? To get blessed by the preacher. But the reality is the preacher is blessed by you. And there's something about us coming together that's mutually beneficial for all of us. That's why we gather on Sundays. That's why we have services, and we keep adding services. And it's also why we offer life groups, because we believe that you are not meant to do Christianity alone. There's no such thing in Scripture as a Lone Ranger Christian. In the second century, somehow along the way, the priests and the fathers of the church thought that they would be better Christians going living alone in a hut somewhere or in a cave. And the Desert Fathers, what they missed out on was the mutual benefit of being in life together. Paul would tell the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, we're all members of this body, and we have different functions. We may look like different pieces, but we're all members of the body, and we need each other and benefit one another. Listen, so many times people will share how much this church means to them. And our staff can tell you, our pastors know, our team knows, they'll hear it all the time. Man, this church blesses me so much. I mean, just read through the comments on our Facebook page. The reviews that we get all the time say this kind of stuff. They say, this church has blessed me so much. The worship team blesses me. The dream teams bless me so much. People talk about the parking lot team. And I'm telling you, that parking lot team is, they are special forces when it comes to blessing folks, right? They talk about how much the sermons mean to them and instruct them. But I got to tell you, as pastors, you guys are more of a blessing and encouragement to me. And I know our team feels the same way. And that's the way it should be. Listen, we need each other. When you win, we win. When you grieve, we grieve. When you suffer, we suffer. When you rejoice, we rejoice. When you grow, we grow. Christianity is a faith of we, not a faith of me. We've gotten into this really bad habit of talking about our personal faith, right? Our personal relationship with Jesus. And hands down, you need to have a personal devotion life. You need to personally read your Bible. You need to personally do what it says. You need to personally have a prayer life. But Christianity is not a religion of me. It's a religion of we. And we're meant to do life together. And again, I gotta plug it today. I mean, next Sunday we launch officially our life groups. And I gotta tell you, I believe it is God's will that every single one of us belong to the body corporately, but also that we belong to the body in small groups, in life, we call them life groups here. So I wanna invite you right now, just get on our website, lifepointchurch.tv, click on the groups page, and find a group and plug in. And some of you are thinking, like, especially all the introverts are freaking out right now going, I'm not going to some stranger's house. I get it. Just get over that and know that you are a gift to somebody. That's why they want you there. That's why they're looking forward to you being there. You are a gift to somebody. And open up your home for this, you know, and be ready to open up your life. It is a blessing to do life in circles, not in rows. Listen, you come to church and you sit in rows and you hear the teaching, and there's a place for that. Paul said in Acts 20 that he went about teaching in the synagogues and also in house to house. So there's a benefit to sitting and doing Christianity in rows. But we're actually meant to do life in circles, and that's what our small groups and our life groups are for. So it's biblical, it's powerful. It's great. I love it. So we are a blessing to each other. Finally, the third thing that Paul admonishes us out of this text is in verses 14 to 15, that we would make the gospel known to all people. Remember how he started. He said, I thank God for you all the time that your faith is being heard and seen all over the world. And now he's kind of end-capping that with this commitment that he has as a pastor. He gives this great sentiment. I want to come to you, but I'm super busy in preaching and church planting. In fact, Paul is very committed to his ministry. In verse 14, he says it like this, I'm under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. And some of us read that, and when we were actually studying on Tuesday, I thought, I was asking Pastor Randy, I was like, tell me about barbarians, because I'm thinking like Vikings, you know, or these characters with clubs and swords, and barbarians are like really rough folks. But really, Paul is speaking to a Roman culture, and essentially the Greeks or the Greco-Romans or the Romans who are Greek thinkers, they had this kind of insider-outsider mentality, kind of like we do. You ever heard the statement, there's two kind of people in the world, right? So everybody has their list of what the two kind of people are. There's New Orleans Saints fans, and then there's everybody else, right? By the way, they won last weekend. You're welcome. So anyway, there's two kinds of people in the world, right? There's the Greeks, the Greco-Romans, those who are part of the civilized world at the time. And for him, the barbarians are everybody else. In Jesus' day, in the preaching of the gospel, you see over and over again, the Jewish people of first century Israel said, there are the Jews and then Gentiles. That's everybody else. And so Paul's saying there's the Greeks, there's us who are Romans, the Greco-Romans, and then there's everybody else. And he called them barbarians. And that's just kind of a dismissive way of saying the rest of the world. Well, why is that significant? Because Jesus said that this gospel begins in Israel, right? It's brought to the Jewish faith, but it would go to the ends of the earth. And Paul is actually bringing that same message along to say, hey, I'm under obligation to preach the gospel to you guys, you Greco-Romans, the civilized known world, but I'm also under obligation to preach that to everybody else around the world. In Acts 20, 24, I love the way he says it. He goes, I know that my call is to share this gospel with everybody I meet, that they would hear of this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So listen, he's admonishing them by telling them his own story. He's saying, look, I want to come to you. I want to preach to you guys. I want to see you so bad, but I am under obligation to get this message out to not only you guys, but everybody else in the world. And then he lists them another way. He says, both the wise, that's those of you who have heard this, those of you that have met Jesus and seen this gospel, and then to the foolish, that's everyone who has, the foolish of the world are those who don't know Christ yet, right? And so he says, my obligation, I would love to come to you, but listen, I've got a higher calling and a higher obligation than to come and have church services with you guys, because I have got to preach this gospel everywhere that God would let me. So to the insiders and outsiders, to the wise and the foolish, so I'm eager to preach the gospel also to you guys who are in Rome. So listen, his preaching and pastoring of this church starts with him actually saying, this text to the church starts with him saying, I just thank God that everywhere I go to preach, everywhere I go to travel, everywhere I go, I'm hearing about the faith of the Romans. And what if that was our story, LifePoint Church? That everywhere we went and sit in this city, when you start bragging on what God is doing through your church, people go, man, I have heard about that church. I have heard about what God is doing through that church. You go to Nashville, you go anywhere. In fact, I was in Germany in October. I did a chaplain's retreat. And I'm standing in the lobby of the Edelweiss Resort, which is one of the just coolest places I've ever been. It's an army resort there. And I'm standing there talking to some of the chaplains that are at this retreat. And I had this young lady come and tap me on the shoulder. And she goes, Pastor Mike, I go to LifePoint Church right here in Germany. And she was a part of our church in Clarksville. And she's literally gone to the other side of the world and she's still a part of our church. Like, how cool is it that you guys are making an impact around the world and in other parts of the country? In fact, I've got friends right now in London and in Nepal and friends around the world that are hearing this sermon right now because they tune in through your generosity and through what is happening here. But how cool is it that Paul starts by saying, I hear about you guys all the time, but then he's bringing it back and landing the plane and saying, look, this is our obligation. Our obligation is that, yes, there are people who know the Greeks and the wise, but there are fools and barbarians out there. There are those who are far from God. There are unbelievers and those who have not said yes to Jesus yet that we are still obligated to. So let me tell you something, Life Point. As long as I'm your pastor, I'm going to love you, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to care for you, but I'm also going to know that there's an obligation for those who have yet to say yes to Jesus. And that needs to be our burden, our obligation, and our commitment. Paul's ending this text with this admonition by saying, look, I'm under obligation to these people. In Life One, I believe we are also under obligation to those who are far from God. Next Sunday's text is going to unpack this way better. But listen, you have to come back to hear that. But look, he's leaning into their Greekness by saying, those who are missing matter too. Those who are not a part of this world and part of this commitment to Jesus, they still matter. And as long as I'm pastoring this church, we've said it for years, this church is not for us. We are the church, and we exist to reach the world. It's why we're asking you to move from our busy services to find room in our 8 o'clock or our North Clarksville campus service or join us as we're launching a new church in Smyrna. Why? Because the barbarians are out there and they need Jesus. Boy, is that weird for me as a pastor to call people barbarians in 2018. But listen, as a church, we are committed to being a place of welcome for all people. We say that everybody's welcome to be here, and everybody's welcome to come and be offended by Jesus Christ. Paul would have that attitude, that nobody is out of range for Jesus to meet them and to reach them for his gospel. And we're a church that's going to believe that too, because we're obligated that this gospel must be preached, this gospel must be shared, and that people who are far from God need to find hope in Jesus. You know what that'll look like, though? Is that as we grow as a church, we're going to see that there's people coming who don't look like us. They don't live like us. They don't behave like us. They don't sound like us. They don't date and have relationships maybe like you're comfortable with. But because there are those far from God, our obligation must be that we make room for people to come here and to be wrecked by the gospel and to be offended by Jesus and called home to sonship and obedience and saintly living. Isn't that a good word? I just love that. I love the heart of Paul. He's like, I'm so proud of you guys, but don't forget our bigger story. Don't forget our bigger picture. Don't forget our bigger obligation that we would be committed to being a church reaching those who are far from God. So listen, as we wrap up today, I just want to say my hope for us is that we would become more and more a people known for the great things that Jesus is doing. That we would be a people known for the gospel being preached here. That we would not just be that big church down on Rossview Road or that big church started up at West Creek Middle School, but that we would be a church known where anyone could come and meet Jesus, where anyone could come and meet the Lord. Because we're a church who loves people far from God and wants to bring them home to Christ. My hope is that more and more we'd be a people known for the things that Christ is doing, and we'd be a people known for sharing this gospel, and we'd be a people known for mutually encouraging and benefiting one another as we gather together. What if that was us? What would it take for the Apostle Paul to write that same letter to Life Point Church? Could you imagine, like, if the Apostle Paul were living today and writing letters to churches that he was just super proud of? What would it take for Paul to write that kind of letter to us? I think what it would take is, first of all, a people consecrated unto God. And I think it would take a people who are so committed to the gospel that we're willing to let our predispositions and our prejudices down. And we become a people who care for all people coming to Jesus. This is Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, by the way. One of my absolute heroes of the faith for a number of reasons. I'm from New Orleans originally, and racial diversity has always been a part of my narrative, my story. I also share a birthday with Dr. King, so that's a blessing that I've always gotten out of school for my birthday, thanks to him. But I'll tell you something, he dreamt about the possibility of the gospel actually coming alive in this country. And the way he talked about it was he dreamed about being a country where people were judged by the content of their character instead of the color of their skin. And he dreamt of a place that was built on the equality of humankind instead of race or skin color or where you come from. And honestly, that was not an idea that was new with him. That was an idea that was true to the gospel. It was true to the Apostle Paul. It was true to Jesus. Paul would go on later to say in Galatians, he said that in Christ, there's no racial division. There's no gender division. There's no economic division. In fact, he says it like this. In Jesus, there's no longer Jew or Greek. We could say it like this, black or white, northern or southerner, Republican, Democrat, American or other. He said in Christ, there's none of those lines. In Christ, there's no longer male or female. Like, we don't have sexism in the body of Christ. We have equality as believers and brothers and sisters in Jesus. And then he said, there's no longer even slave or free. That's the economic disparity that we want to try to just pin on the wall in so many different ways. He said, but in Christ, rich and poor need a savior. And what I love about the story of Dr. King is, man, he was just preaching the gospel. And it may have come across as a social ethic to some, but really it was birthed out of the heart of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the kind of church that we want to be. That's the kind of church that we need to become. That's the kind of church that I think the Apostle Paul would say, I was proud of you guys. I thank God for you all the time because you get it. You're about what the gospel is about. So what would it take for us to start looking like that? What would it take for us to believe like that and become a people so committed to Jesus that literally the world would start hearing about Jesus again? What would it take for us to be so devoted to Christ that Clarksville would be hearing about Jesus and the fame of Christ would spread here? What would it look like to be a church full of people who look different but yet belong together because of this gospel? And what if we became more and more committed to preaching this gospel, sharing this message so that the foolish could become wise, so that the barbarian can become the found and the lost can become sons and daughters of Jesus again? I want to close this out in a moment of prayer. And I want to ask you just where you're at right now. Maybe you're at home gathered up around a computer or you're watching this on a small phone, working out or whatever you're doing. I just want to ask if you do me a favor, just pause what you're doing and let's stand before the Lord. I know it's weird. You're sitting in your PJs or whatever. Maybe you're laying in bed still, but let's just at least rise up, sit up. And let's open our hands to the Lord and just confess these things to God and plead with the Lord that these things would be about us. This is my hope for you as your pastor. I hope the same thing that Paul hoped for his church, and I hope the same thing that every great pastor has ever wanted for his great church. And I'm hoping for the best for us. I believe this year in 2018 is special as we've consecrated ourselves unto him, that we'd be a people about his gospel, being famous Jesus, doing life together in ways we never have before and even better. And we'd be about preaching this gospel to our city. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We honor you, God. We thank you so much for your gospel has changed us. And Lord God, I thank you that in changing us, it doesn't stop there. But God, in changing us, we become change agents for the rest of this world. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that God, you have called us to be sons and daughters. You've called us to family. You've called us to faithfulness. You've called us to be saints of God, to walk with God. And Lord, today, we just consecrate ourselves to you again. As we start into this third week of our fast, we are reminded, Lord God, that we are to be set apart unto you, to walk with you and to live for you, to belong to you. And God, I pray that we would increase our devotion in this season. God, that we would increase our passion for this gospel. That, Lord, we would allow the influence that you've given us to be about your name and not our own. That, Lord, our money would be about your name and not our own. That our time would be about your name and not our own. That our families would look like this is a family that belongs to Jesus. God, that we would work as hard as we can to preach the gospel, to make you famous, to live in a way that brings honor to your name. God, I am so blessed as a pastor. And I'm so thankful for this great and amazing church. And we're spread out all over the world, God, through technology. I am so blessed to be the pastor of this amazing church who are open to God doing great things. In fact, I just want to lead us through this final prayer. Wherever you're at, just pray this with me. And we've prayed it many times, but especially if this is new for you and you're saying, I want to serve Jesus. I want to belong to Christ. I want to ask you to pray this with me. Every head bowed and eyes are closed or whatever. Just pray this with me. And we're going to consecrate ourselves to the Lord in this prayer. But especially if this is you saying yes to Jesus, I want you to pray this and mean it from the bottom of your heart. Here we go. Everybody say this. Say, God. Say, I am all in. I belong to you. And I yield my life again or for the first time completely to you. I ask you to come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Change me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your salvation. And I will walk with you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a mighty God we serve, and what a great day this has been. I know it's a different experience for us to do this online, but I'm telling you, you prayed that with me, and I believe there's a transfer in heaven, and God's doing a great work in your heart even now. Let us know. Like, email us, whether it's info@lifepointchurch.tv. Post it right there where you're watching. Say, I just yielded my life to Jesus, or say, I recommitted my life to Jesus, and we want to follow up with you. But listen, before we go, the last thing I want to challenge you with, two things. Number one, don't let this text from Romans chapter 1, don't let it sit in this sermon video on your computer, on your playlist. Don't let the content of this sermon just sit right there and then you walk away going, wow, that was a great message, or man, I got a lot out of that. But I really want to challenge you, first of all, that you would take this text with you and take this message, these message notes, and really begin to apply your life to the truth of this script. Amen, everybody? Second thing is this, and of course, we didn't meet in our regular venues, whether at North Clarksville campus or here at our Rossview campus, but we do want to invite you, as we always do every week, to be generous in your giving. And online, many of you have fought the online giving for a long time, but today is actually a great day for you to be introduced to that. And on our website, on our smart device, there are links everywhere for you to give online. You can give through our app. You can give on our website on the Give Online button, or we can post a link for you as well if you need that, or let us know. But we want to encourage you to be generous to the Lord in your giving, whether it's bringing your tithes or bringing tithes and offerings, or some of us are starting to flex that generosity muscle for the first time in our lives. And so I want to encourage you, just go for it, and you can give online and be faithful in your giving. I just trust the Lord that He is a generous God to us, and as we are growing in our reflection of Him, that one of the ways that we do that is in generosity. LifePoint Church, I love you. I am so thankful for you, and I praise God for you all the time. What a blessing it is for me to be your pastor, and Pastor Bo, I know, feels the exact same way with our North Clarksville campus, and Pastor Troy feels that way with our Smyrna campus, which launches next Sunday, January 21st. We're so excited for that, and so excited to see what God is going to do there as well. I love you guys. I pray God's best and blessing over you. In Jesus' name, grace and peace out, everybody.